take out your study sheet as we continue. Having your world turned right side up is a theme from the book, or from Paul's letter to the believers, the Christian believers there in Thessalonica. I'd like to begin, first of all, with prayer, and then I'd like to ask you four questions, just four simple questions. And you have it right there on your sheet before you. But let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We, Lord, know it to be the very word of God. Not just the words of man, but how you've used different writers in the inspiration and the work of your Holy Spirit to reveal yourself to us, to reveal your Son, Jesus Christ, to us, to reveal the works of your Holy Spirit within the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls who receive Christ Jesus as Savior, to reveal your life in the church here in South Mount Bible Church. Lord, may we be encouraged as we study your word together. May it not just be a study, but Lord, may your word come alive to our hearts. May it captivate our hearts, our souls, and our minds for you, Lord Jesus, as we live that life that you have given to us. In your name we pray. Amen. We have just a couple of questions to ask, if you will. Have you ever felt a little embarrassed as you tell your testimony of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Another question, have you ever felt afraid to share the gospel with a friend or a stranger? I have. I have to say yes to both of those questions. And if you have that answer as well, then I've got some good news for you this morning from God's word that can help both of us in those areas of sharing our testimony of faith in Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel with family members and friends and even strangers. Have you ever wondered about the trials and troubles that you've had since you've become a Christian? And the last question, have you ever observed a believer going through suffering or a time of trouble and you wished that you could help them at that time? I have. And I'd have to say yes to both of these. And if you're saying yes to both of those questions, then I've got some real good news for you from God's word today that will help all of us, myself included, in dealing with those challenges as well as opportunities that God gives us. And so as we take a look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll see a number of things. And follow with me as I read just verses 1 through 5 of 1 Thessalonians. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 1170. Paul again expresses his heart and love and his care for the new believers there in Thessalonica, that he had had the joy of seeing them come to faith and life in Jesus Christ and having their lives turned right side up by the gospel and had to leave them. But he writes this letter, of course, and he expresses that love and concern. So picking it up in chapter 3 and verse 1, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, I could stand it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless or void. Here, Paul expresses that concern from a distance through the letter and through the sending of Timothy as a faithful servant of God, another fellow believer. And so as we make sure I get things out of the way here before everything falls apart. But here, as we take a look at verses 1 through 5, the key thought, I believe, the key truth, the big idea here in verses 1 through 5 is opposition to the gospel are really opportunities that you and I have to demonstrate both the light and the power of that gospel. We see it in just these few verses here, 1 through 5, but we see it throughout the entire letter that Paul wrote to Thessalonians, the believers there in Thessalonica. Here, the very first part, if you will, as we take a look, the Christian life brings trials, the Christian life brings trials that we would not have otherwise. Paul talks about that. Peter talks about that. James talks about that. But most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about that today, as he did with the disciples. Take a look and see what Jesus tells us today. The Lord is speaking to his disciples there in the upper room before his betrayal and arrest and crucifixion and resurrection. He says this: in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The Lord was informing, he was teaching, he was instructing, he was preparing his disciples for the persecution that they would face, the trials and tribulations. He didn't say you may have, he said you will have. And indeed they did. When you read the book of Acts there, in the very beginning chapters of the book of Acts, you see those new believers in Jerusalem, both Jew and Gentile alike, were being persecuted. They entered into trials and tribulations that they never had before. They accepted Jesus Christ. This is not a sermon this morning that would be identified as a prosperity gospel, by no means. It's not the prosperity gospel that teaches health, wealth, and happiness all the time to the Christian. That's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another gospel. And we see that throughout, not only here in the United States, we saw that in Indonesia as well. And yet born-again believers come to the realization that that they live for Christ. In fact, Paul told Timothy, he reminded them of this truth: all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, what he means, all who will live a life as a born-again believer, all who will live a life that Christ is the center of your life, all who will live a life in obedience to Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. We saw that elsewhere too. We see that here in the United States. So Christians do enter into trials and tribulations. You and I enter into trials and tribulations that we never would have if we never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Peter, take a look what Peter says there on your paper before you. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Listen again to what Paul says here in this letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. So that no one would be unsettled by these trials, you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. Paul prayed for them. We see that repeatedly throughout this letter. It certainly reflects his prayer life for all believers, new believers as well as older believers, and the persecutions that they would face, the trials and tribulations. You see, because Paul understood what it meant to be a Christian and to be persecuted. He understood what it meant to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to face trials that he would never have any other way. But also Paul understood it from the other side of the coin, doesn't he? He understood it as the one who was persecuting those new Christians there in Jerusalem, those Gentile Christians. Yes. Paul understood, well understood, about persecution as a Christian. That motivated Paul all the more to pray for brothers and sisters in Christ that were facing trials and tribulations. That was Paul's response to this reality you and I face. Paul knew that there was also a spiritual battle going on. Turn with me, if you will, if you have a pew Bible, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're looking at verses 4. If you're using a pew Bible, it's 1144. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, on page 1144. Take a look. For the God of this world, he's referring to Satan, he's referring to the tempter, he's referring to the devil. He's a god of this cosmos. In rebellion against God and forcing, directing, blinding people to the gospel. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that he cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Go right down to verse 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ, Jesus' sake. For God, who has said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. You see, Paul knew it was a spiritual battle. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ faces that spiritual battle. Turn, if you will, on to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verses 3 and 4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have the divine power to demolish strongholds. Paul said we're in a spiritual battle. And that's why the believers in Thessalonica, that's why believers today also face persecution, trials and tribulations, because of the spiritual battle. And Paul understood that the strategic weapons for the spiritual battle are the word of God and prayer. Those are the strategic weapons. So Paul was in prayer for them. We've listed a number of places in this letter alone where Paul was praying for them or made reference to his prayers for them. But let's go on. Paul not only prayed for them, while their trials, but Paul prepared them for their trials, didn't he? We saw that very clearly in verses 3 and 4. He says, we repeatedly told you that these things would come, so as not to be a surprise. So they were well prepared. He taught them about the abiding presence of Jesus Christ to be their strength, because Paul knew that he would have to leave them someday. So that the strength did not reside in Paul, or any of their pastors, or any of their elders, or any of their leaders, but their strength individually, personally resided in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul taught them in that preparation for trials and tribulations. As a Christian, he taught them about the abiding and dwelling presence of Jesus Christ. He also taught them of the sufficiency of God's word. The sufficiency of God's word is a weaponry that God has given us in our dealings, both with trials and temptations. Are you going through a trial right now this morning? Maybe this past week? As a Christian, I mean. Like Peter delineated, there sometimes we go through trials and tribulations because of the consequences of our own sin. And so we need to repent of that and ask God to forgive us and ask God to re-instruct us to set our steps aright in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But if we are, if you're going through a trial right now, if you're going through a period of tribulation, as a Christian, take heed and take the hope and help that God gives you and gives all of his children. If you are, turn, not right now, but as you turn to 1 Peter, because 1 Peter talks about suffering as a Christian. How do you deal with that? I believe he has at least 4 points there. Commit yourself to the Lord, for because God is faithful. We have them for you there. We won't turn there, but I just want to at least mention them. Commit yourself to the Lord, for he is faithful. Submit yourself humbly to his work under his hand, for he is mighty. Cast your anxiety and fears upon him, for he cares for you. And the fourth point of how we are to deal with the trials and tribulations that we face as Christians, expect to grow in Christ's likeness. For he is gracious. That's why Peter could bring the conclusion to another letter dealing with suffering and trials and tribulations as a Christian, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing you can do, we have it there for you, is read, memorize, and claim 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you're going through a trial today, if you're going through a time of pressure, whatever that pressure may be. Maybe it's relationship in your home, in your marriage, with your children. Maybe it's pressure there, trials there at work, in the workplace, or at school. If you would take 1 Corinthians 10:13, read it, memorize it, and claim God's promise in it, because in the very heart of that is God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, to be tried, to be tested beyond that you are able, but will make a way to escape that you may be able to endure it. A great verse, a great hope, a great promise. Amen? And we need those because the Christian life is filled with trials and tribulations. So we should not be surprised, but we should be equipped. We should never say, well, why? Search God's word out and find out, what is he doing? There's different ways you and I can face persecution in the world that we live in, because Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of the young believers. Last year, we had, together with the youth, a number of youth leaders, with much prayer from the church family, had distributed hundreds of New Testaments here on South Mountain. And they went door to door. It was a great opportunity to share the gospel. And they were free. That's nice. That's a great thing, right? To be able to give the gospel out. To my knowledge, to the best of my knowledge, there was only one person, one household that rejected that. And before I got to that house with that New Testament, they said, turn around and leave. I turned around and left, blessed them in the name of the Lord, and said, Lord, you know I've been thrown out of better places than this. And I have. But you know something? That was nothing. That was nothing compared to what our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through right now in the persecutions they face. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I encourage you to read that book. The ministry with regard to the persecuted church has added and appended many chapters after that Fox's Book of Martyrs. I have a copy here, but I'd like to read a couple of statements and expressions of faith that you find in this in Fox's book and also the extended version. The opportunity to be a servant of the Lord exists at all times in all places. Opposition should make no difference. Spiritually, we have only one leader. He orders our steps. A fellow named Tom White wrote that, believed it and lived it as he suffered in a Cuban prison. Do you know what he did? He distributed tracts. That's all. And he was thrown into a prison. Many others do that to just express what others are facing. Before prison, we heard about God, but in prison, we experienced God. There was a Chinese house church leader, a fellow named Xu. If you pray for him. It was also, we have learned that suffering is not the worst thing in the world. Disobedience is. And that was a Vietnamese Christian held in prison. If I die, I will be very happy because I will leave an example for other Christians to follow in my wake. That's Kuan Bashir, there in Sudanese. He was a youth leader taken by Muslims and they were pouring acid over his hands just because he was sharing the gospel. More love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, was heard by Christian parents who would not deny Jesus Christ and because of that saw their children hung in North Korea. Today, my love, I will see you in heaven. These were the words of a mother to her daughter who was being hanged by communist guards, and the mother was later hanged. People who say, get out of here, I don't want that. That's nothing compared to what our brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, the Lord says, in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. When you and I, when we share the gospel, when we share our testimony, and we're afraid that people rebuke us or reprove us, beloved, that's nothing compared to what others are facing. Let us be bold with that courage. And let's see how that happens, if you will. As we continue on in this study, the gospel enables us to care for the ministers for and minister to other believers going through trials. I believe that's clearly one of the reasons the Lord allows you and I to go through trials and testings and tribulations, is to be able to be equipped by the Holy Spirit as we've learned more about the Lord, more about his ways, and more about his sufficiency in our own life, that we can comfort and encourage others. That's exactly why Paul sent Timothy to the believers there in Thessalonica, to encourage them, to strengthen them. In fact, that's what it says. Take a look, if you will, in verses, we'll get there. First of all, Paul really cared for them, verse 1. So when I could stand it no longer, I thought it best to be left by ourselves, and so we sent Timothy. Paul really cared and loved the believers there. What a transformation that the gospel had in Paul's life, to bring him to have that love, that commitment, that care for Gentiles. You see, all his upbringing, as a Hebrew, the Hebrews, as a Pharisee, the Pharisees, as one who hated Gentiles, his heart was transformed. Now he has such a love and a care and a compassion for, yes, those Gentiles in Thessalonica, because they're going through times of testing and tribulation. Paul, throughout that letter, uses many terms of endearment, of his love and his care. Let me ask you something. Have you experienced that same heart and life transformation? Do you love fellow believers in that manner? The Lord tells us and commands us to love one another even as Christ has loved us. Paul did. Timothy did. And I believe there are men and women, boys and girls in the Lord Jesus Christ that also have had that heart transformation. But let me ask you, has your heart been transformed to love a brother and sister in Jesus Christ in that manner, in that measure? Paul cared for them. Paul sent Timothy to minister to them, verses 2 and 3, 3b, to strengthen them. I believe he strengthened through the Word of God. You're saying, wait a second, Bill, he didn't have any New Testament. That's right, he didn't have the New Testament. What did he use? I believe he used the Scripture. As you and I can use Scripture. Turn with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. This is one of the passages, I don't doubt, that was on Timothy's heart and mind. As he studied the Scriptures from childhood, as it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14. And the Word of God worked in his heart, making wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And it continued to work in his heart. And it was profitable for him. And because it was profitable in his life and experience, in facing trials and tribulations, Timothy was equipped now to be able to encourage others, to strengthen them, and to encourage them. Take a look, if you will, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It's throughout the entire book of Joshua, but let's take a look at verse 8 and 9. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. What he's saying is, Joshua, I want you to know the Word of God. Make it a part of your life. For in it there is promise. For in it there is strength. For in it there is guidance as you face those trials. Let's take a look. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Two things, I believe, that Timothy could encourage the believers there in Thessalonica, and you and I can encourage one another and others that are going through trials and tribulations. First of all, the sufficiency of God's word reminds us, instructs us, and gives us that clear understanding of the presence of God with us. So that you and I, like Joshua, in the face of the trials and the testings and tribulations, we can be strong and of good courage. Amen? Joshua needed it. I need it. You need it. Because trials will come. Tribulation will come. Persecution will come as well. Simply because we're in Jesus Christ. Simply because you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not only to strengthen them in the Lord and through God's word and reminding them again of the ever presence of God's presence with him, but also to encourage them. Take a look, if you will. Come back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul says to strengthen and encourage you in the faith. The word encourage there is used many times throughout the Scripture, but especially by Paul again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. We'll be taking a look at that passage later on. But it's a word that says to be called alongside of. Butch, come here.
What?
Come here. I love it. Come here.
I did not plan this.
No. it's a brother or sister coming alongside another brother or sister who's going through a time of difficulty, of trial, of testing, and coming along and coming right alongside. That's what paraclesis means, called alongside of. You and I are called to be alongside of our brothers and sisters in Christ, not to be in fight with them, not to be in argument with them, not to be in conflict with them, but to strengthen them and encourage them in the Lord Jesus. Are you strengthened?
Yep.
Amen. You get the point.
Yeah.
That's what Paul is doing. You see, that's why I believe this is one of the core elements of this letter. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He's saying, yes, trials will come. They're all a part of the Christian life because you are in Christ. And if Jesus says, if they persecuted me, your Lord and Master, why won't they persecute you, you who are following me? Beloved, God gives us everything we need for life and godliness in His Son, Jesus Christ. So we have no excuse, no matter what trial, test, tribulation, or persecution that you and I are facing, whenever, wherever, that we can't live for Jesus Christ. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ, before He was betrayed, there in the upper room, He took Peter aside and He told Peter, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me how many times?
Three.
Okay, thank you. Three times. But He also said something else. He said, Peter, Satan has requested to sift you. He said, but I've prayed for you. You see, Christ is praying for every one of us today. That was probably the deepest trial that Peter ever faced. And he failed. When he denied the Lord, how many times?
Three times.
But the Lord did not cast him away or discard him. What did the Lord do? He prayed for him. But then He also told him, when you are turned around, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. You see, in Peter's life, the great value of that trial, even though he failed it, Christ reconciled him. He forgave him. He restored him. That he could strengthen another brother or sister in Christ. I believe that's a gospel pattern today, beloved. And if you and I are not plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel and seeing that transforming work of His grace, then we got to do that. And we got to do it today. For there's no reason. There's no reason on earth or in hell or in heaven why you and I, who have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, can't exhibit that same love, that compassion for one another, that same desire and equipping to strengthen and encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
In 1993, the police there in South Windsor, Connecticut, pulled over motorists in large numbers throughout a period of about a week. One person who was stopped was Lori Carlson. And according to the newspaper report, the policeman approached her car after she was pulled over. She was wondering, what did I do? Have you ever been in a case situation like that? You know, you see the lights in the back, and you go, oh, what did I do? And so he came over and he gave her a ticket. And on the ticket says, your driving was great and we appreciate it. Can't you just imagine? But what happened is on Wednesday, June 9th, the authorities in Hartford suburb began a new program and affected all the various communities within that Hartford area. And they were saying, you know, what we are going to do, we are going to amend, we are going to encourage good, safe drivers. And so they went out of their way to do that. Sometimes, you know, you and I just need to make that commitment that I'm going to encourage my brother, my sister, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to point out the warts I've got enough of. You've got enough of. I'm not going to point out the wrinkles, the smudges. I'm going to be able to, by the grace of God and God's gospel in my life, and I pray that I will, that I'll be enabled by him to look through the mud and see the masterpiece. Amen? That's what Paul and Timothy are doing. And by their example, you and I can do the same thing too. When we see a brother, when we see a sister in Christ, encourage them. Don't be at arm's length from them. Don't gossip about them. Encourage them. Oh, there's so much more in this passage, verse 1 through 5. There is a gospel pattern. And what I'd like to do is just close with a statement that you have at the bottom. I recorded 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, and then 8 through 11. Now, you could read those at your leisure. The trials and tribulations will come to every Christian, but they are opportunities to demonstrate the life and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. And I want to see more of it in my heart. And I want to see more of it by the grace of God in my life. So I ask you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if you will pray that there will be increasing soul in my life, not just as a pastor, but as a brother in Christ Jesus. Trials will come. Tribulation is there. But they are opportunities. Yes, the devil sees them as opposition. But beloved, you and I, through Jesus Christ, see them as opportunities, don't we? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the teaching of your word. And Lord, may it effectually work in our hearts and our lives. Most important, Father, that it would work in our relationship with you and our relationship with others. That our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ will reflect that loving relationship and presence that you have in our lives. But Lord, that others would see that we are Christians, that we are disciples of Jesus Christ because of our love one for another. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are moving upon this mountain in a mighty, wonderful way, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the salvation of Wendell Baker. We pray for more. Lord, we pray for more men and women and boys and girls to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we also pray that our lives would not be a hindrance to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.